This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We come to H time. Let's get their work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We got a lot of business to get to today, so let's get cracking.
Ah, my damn it.
That's your focal point start for the rest of the year, I think.
Turning on my mic.
Turning on your microphone. It's like they say, make your bed. And when you make your bed in the morning,
everything else follows.
Everything else falls into place.
Okay.
You turn on that microphone. You turn on that microphone, everything else is going
to
fall
into
place.
When I'm invited to speak to communication students in college, I usually spend the first 10 minutes on that, the importance of hitting the on button.
Just turning on the mic.
Hitting the record button.
It's making the bed.
These kids who have been recording everything since the time they got their first smartphone at age three.
They take it for granted.
I tell them, hey, listen, there's a lot I can teach you about how to use that phone of yours.
Right now. Turn on the mic.
They all know more than me.
How you feeling?
They give me notes afterwards. It's like, here's where you're actually wrong, Mr. Payne.
Yeah. Greatest speaker ever. Yeah. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm ready for this Thursday night game already. I was worried because I wake. So this is what the team does. And it gets very confusing. I was thinking about this as I was listening to D'Amico's show last night.
Mm-hmm.
When he got a little, like he had to think his way through. So yesterday, you would call it a normal Thursday. Today, you'd call a normal Friday. And yet,
if the Jets game is on a Sunday,
And then everything's modified. So yesterday they did, or today they'll do. Yesterday they had off because it was a normal Tuesday. Today's a normal. Wait, no, yeah, that gets combined. The Monday and Tuesday gets combined.
Okay, yeah,
today. What's today? Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday.
No, it's Friday. So it's a normal Friday. Except that it's also a modified Friday because you're only doing some things and not others. Tomorrow will be a normal Saturday.
Man.
But on Saturday, on their normal Saturday, they got to work in a lot of what they do on Friday and Saturday typically.
The look you would have on your face if I was doing this right now.
I'm a guy that routinely messes up Central Time Zone, Eastern Time Zone stuff. Like I can't do the simple minus one or plus one.
What are you saying right now?
Yeah, so it's a little bit disorienting.
Right,
and you got to just put the blinders on and just look at the itinerary and do what's.
I think the thing we need to. They're going to travel tomorrow.
Right, because it's a normal Saturday.
Tomorrow's like Saturday
Wednesday.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. Except with a lot more pain in their bodies, I would imagine, right? I mean, the recovery's been the word I've heard all week long from D'Amico and others, CJ. Mm-hmm. So, how painful is it to play in a Thursday night game?
It's not, you got resources available to you.
Okay.
The old Toradol shot or what have you.
Yeah, that's what I was looking
for. I think that, it was always, and I think I played on Thursdays just like, because it wasn't a Thursday night thing. It was a Thanksgiving day once. I think it was twice. It were short weeks for whatever reason. It's for me, it was psychological because I can just remember being out on the field feeling like, I got to go play a football game. Like, right. let's go. Like reminding myself to get into my normal routine because your body, your brain, everything else just it feels a little bit off. So, whether there is something to Thursday night football being sloppy or whatever, it always feels like it is. And then stat heads will tell you, no, it just feels different.
Yeah.
It just feels weird. Yeah.
I think, we'll get into the Jets a little bit more. There's so much stuff to get into that happened yesterday. I guess probably the biggest one for Texan fans is that Adam Schefter reported yesterday afternoon, and I don't think this is a huge surprise, and we've not gotten confirmation from the Texans or anything yet, but Adam Schefter tweeted this yesterday afternoon, or yesterday morning, actually. Texans believe wide receiver Stephon Diggs suffered a torn ACL in Sunday's game against the Colts, and now will undergo an MRI to confirm the injury per source. That was yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
The MRI presumably happened yesterday. The only inkling we've got from the team about a Diggs injury was the injury report yesterday where he didn't practice.
Right.
We've not gotten confirmation on the on the knee yet, but all the doctors, all the Twitter doctors who posted the video of it, they did not improve my mood.
Right,
yesterday.
And I guess maybe the one ray of light might be that, you know, an ACL is pretty easy to diagnose.
They're taking a while.
Right. So maybe there's a little bit more to it. Maybe there's a partial tear or something like that, which I still wouldn't be optimistic about. And then some guys just have a policy that, hey, I'm going to go get a second opinion with everything no matter what. Like sometimes you tell that to the team almost as a way to avoid drama when it happens. Mm-hmm. You know, like, listen, all right, it's not that I disagree with you guys. I always get a second opinion.
Sure.
So, but it doesn't, it's not good.
No.
I think that I'm right now, I'd be very surprised if Stephon Diggs comes back.
Yeah. And then I guess the question becomes, do the Texans prioritize the trade deadline's a week from today?
Yeah.
Does wide receiver become a priority at the trade deadline? Who's out there that you could go get? You're getting conversely, the news on Nico Collins has been good over the last 48 mm-hmm. hours. It looks like he's going to come back after this Jets game.
Yeah, and you see the Kansas City trading for Uche yesterday.
The edge rusher
out of the Patriots, who was phenomenal 2 years ago, but then he's been kind of, hasn't delivered on that promise. But they're adding pieces to an already really, really good defense. Yeah.
They added Hopkins, too. You know? So it's,
So the wide receiver room, if you look at it, I think a lot of it really depends on what Nico is like. Yeah. You go into the season thinking, all right, look, we've got depth. One of these starting wide receivers is probably going to get injured somewhere along the way, and we've seen that already, obviously. But how important is that depth, you know, moving forward if you lose one of those guys? The reason you get the depth is so you can withstand the loss of one of those guys. And have you gotten spoiled by all the depth that you had? Do you have to realize, like, okay, look, Nico Collins and Tank Dell are still a really good pair.
Yeah.
Or you could remember last year what it was like when only Nico Collins was out there.
That's right.
Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie, I think, are... I think this might be the point in the season, including last week's game, where CJ takes another leap forward in his development just by necessity. That, okay, you're getting blitzed, the tight end's got to be the option. Your running back's got to be an option. John Metchie is out there, and I can find him. The replacement for Stephon Diggs might simply be CJ Stroud having to do more quarterbacking stuff.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'll throw Robert Woods in there, you know.
Oh, like, yeah, I'm sorry, Robert Woods.
Well, and the reason I throw him in there, and you know, maybe there's some recency to it, because Robert Woods was really good at the beginning of last year and then kind of faded at the end of the year. Robert Woods on Sunday did have a couple chain movers.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of the way defenses have been playing the Texans, we hadn't seen, like, maximum Stephon Diggs yet. You know, he'd had a lot of catches, but not a lot of explosive plays. And I think maybe like the best case with Robert Woods is he becomes like a poor man's version of what you were using. They were largely using Diggs to move the chains.
Right. Well, and with Robert Woods, I think the great thing about him is he's the guy I think you feel most comfortable with. Okay, CJ could take his drop, plant his back foot in the ground, close his eyes, and throw to the spot where he thinks Robert Woods is going to be. And there he is. And he'll get 3 centimeters yards after catch. But you remember at the beginning of last year, Woods was always right past the
right
sticks.
Right at the chains, man.
And CJ could throw, even if he was covered, CJ could throw it at his feet, and he plucks it up off his shoelaces, and it's a first down. There's a lot to be said for that. And then I think also in handling the blitz, I mean, there's times where the offensive line and the pass protection is an issue, and yet there are also times where the answer to the blitz isn't in the blocking. Sometimes the defense dials up the right blitz and there's not a blocker there. That's when the receivers and the quarterback have to really be on the same page, and the receivers got to understand that there's a blitz. Woods is the consummate professional when it comes to that stuff. You want an antidote. One of your best pass protectors might be Robert Woods on a hot route during a blitz.
Right. Text message, text line, the 5-hour energy fan line, 5-hour energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Bigger priority at the deadline, wide receiver or offensive line? Offensive line doesn't feel like an add at the deadline at this point. Well, and especially with especially after watching D'Amico and Nick Caserio do their shows on Texans radio yesterday.
Well, Caserio yesterday said that he thought it was a bit of either a false narrative or an overblown narrative about the pass protection issues. I just, I, I would push back against that by saying they did bench Kenyon Green in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
So there's at least one glaring issue. You know, we went through this last year where Jalen Petrie was benched in a game, and yet they're saying, everything's fine back here. Like, all right, well, your actions say something different. There's at least one glaring issue. And I had a back and forth with Robert Land, who's in sports media here in Houston yesterday, and he sent me a DM. I think basically I took it personally. But to paraphrase his argument, he felt like you and I weren't just lambasting Kenyon Green enough and focusing on him because he's the largest problem in that with if you just replace Kenyon Green with either Patterson when he's healthy or Kendrick Green, that probably that makes a lot of the sins of the others look less egregious.
Yeah.
We ultimately, I think, came to an understanding that, yes, I think that Kenyon Green is the biggest problem. He's 20% that's causing 80% of your
He's
problems.
He's the one guy that got replaced on Sunday.
Right, so yes. And that probably should be more of a focal point of the discussion. But there are things going on elsewhere that did get, I think they improved somewhat last week. But there are miscommunications and mental errors with the other guys that you shouldn't be seeing. And then the other part, too, is the run blocking. Even though in some respects I think it improved the other day, the run blocking is a five guys issue on the offensive line. It has not been good enough across the board.
I have some good news. Actually, this Schefter tweet from yesterday, as a couple texters pointed out, not Adam Schefter, not actually him, even though it says Adam, you know, even though it says, I just looked, 3,400 followers. Made it look really
real. That's the one that you just read?
That's the one I just read, yeah.
Sean, come on. Does he have a blue check? He doesn't even have a blue check.
No, he doesn't have a blue check. He doesn't have a blue check. He doesn't have a blue check.
The absolute like the blue lowest check bar. Mark.
Well, that's, I mean, anybody can buy a blue check, but I get it. Adam Schefter probably did purchase one. You're
it's all right.
Right.
I've done this before, too.
Yeah,
Sean.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's, it was 10 years
but that's,
ago.
But that's good news, though.
Yeah.
That's good news.
That Adam Schefter wasn't reporting bad news.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that I
the
messed
fake
up.
Fake Adam Schefter.
That I messed up and read the wrong Adam Schefter. So there's still hope.
The guy who was listening and pulled over to a rest area and slit his wrists in the bathroom over the news probably.
Well,
that's
collateral damage in 2024. I can't do anything about that.
Yeah, I mean that guy's done. Yeah. We got to move beyond. Stop looking in the rearview mirror. We're moving forward here.
Yeah.
Let's not forget it. Let's not think about how many people Sean killed this morning.
There's nothing I can do about that now. There's nothing I can do about that. So we wait now with Stephon Diggs. We know that he didn't practice yesterday, and hopefully it's good news.
Okay, so this is where I've been conditioned by the Astros, though, too, is that I used to think, all right, well, if it's something major like a UCL or an ACL, you find out pretty quickly, because usually with an ACL, they know on the field.
Yeah.
You do the test, and they can tell. So, like, the MRI and everything is just confirmation. Yeah. The longer it goes, usually I would say, oh, okay, well, maybe there's nothing. But now the Astros have hidden UCLs from us for weeks.
Yeah.
The Tommy John surgery for weeks before.
Yeah.
I mean, he had Espada saying that Urquidy and Javier felt great.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day they're getting Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
This year with the Texans, Christian Harris, minor injury, first day of camp. All right. Christian Harris hasn't played yet this year.
Right.
So I don't know exactly what to make of the fact that we don't have news on it yet.
I hate the internet. I hate the internet.
Do you?
Yes.
I was having that thought yesterday.
Yes. These just, people, what do you? What jollies do you get out of this,
I just,
man?
You know, it's because I'm trying to do X more, you know, mostly because I'm making money.
For good reasons,
because I make money off of it
for
now.
For commercial reasons.
I try to keep myself, you know, I try to stay away from the toxicity.
Right.
But even yesterday, Texans Cap tweeted out a video of the C.J. Stroud to Tank Dell touchdown.
Yeah.
Talked about what a nice catch it was. And I'm like, yeah, okay, this is good positive content. I'm going to retweet it. You got to get the well actually guy.
Yeah.
He's like, well, actually, it really wasn't that impressive of a throw by CJ. And he's a Texans fan.
The internet sucks.
I'm like, oh, come on, everybody.
Yeah. Our internet sucks. The Wi-Fi's down right now. Everything sucks. All right. Welcome to the show, people.
Change that next Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, the biggest stories in the NFL yesterday, the Texans were a big part of one of them. And
they were?
Will Anderson recounting the final play of the game against the Colts is glorious. We'll get to that.
I haven't listened to this. I'm excited.
We'll get to that coming up
next.
Quit
pointing at the clock. Screw the clock. Screw the internet. Screw fake Adam Schefter.
Screw everybody.
That's right. Long live D'Amico.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. I would say the biggest story yesterday, at least on the debate shows and opinions popping up on my timeline, and we'll dig into it in more detail later in the show, some of the opinions on this, but Anthony Richardson pulling himself out of that Texans game on Sunday.
That was headline material.
Because he was tired.
He was so tired.
Yeah, here was Anthony Richardson on Sunday. It was after the play where he shed Foley Fatakasi. He
shrugged off Foley Fatakasi.
Which was impressive, yes. I'm going to admit. But obviously it fatigued him greatly because he then ran several yards and then tapped his helmet, said, I got to come out of this game. Here's Anthony Richardson explaining himself after the game.
Man, tired. I ain't going to lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did. And I don't think I was going to be able to go that next play. So I just, this whole thing, I just needed a break right there.
Okay.
Man, tired.
I mean, there's no ambiguity for the Colts to try to explain it away. Because I could see a scenario where the Colts try to kind of mansplain it to everybody.
Right,
because
right.
They're pot committed to Anthony Richardson. This is not going to be something that pushes the Colts off of Anthony Richardson.
Right.
It is something that everybody outside of Indianapolis is saying should push the Colts off of Anthony Richardson.
Right, right. Well, Oregon Colts fans themselves are kind of disgusted that, okay, I guess this is the metal of this guy. But the crazy thing about that is, Sean, it's not just a quarterback pulling himself out because he's tired. It's the situation they were in that moment, too. Dude, you're getting down into the red zone. You're like, what part of you as a quarterback of that team thinks, I'm too... It's the way he said it, too. It wasn't, I was too tired to go the next play.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he had given some explanation about how, look, I felt like it would be better for the team or whatever, he made it sound like he wouldn't have been even able to lift himself up off the turf and get out there and call the play. And it wasn't that. It was an impressive play, what he did to Foley Fatakasi, but then he ran like 10 yards and got tackled.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have been that exhausting for him.
No,
for a guy
not.
Who's one of the biggest freaks of physical nature the NFL has ever seen at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
That's a bad look, man. That would be frustrating as hell if that was our quarterback.
Oof.
I mean, and he
went two picks after our quarterback in that draft.
And then it raises all kinds of questions when you start to wonder about, all right, for a guy that's injury prone and misses a lot of time due to injuries, how often could he have played through those injuries?
Right.
CJ Stroud played all last year with a separated shoulder. You never heard a peep about it. I think there's something about most quarterbacks. It's a notable story when a quarterback agrees to leave the field.
Yeah.
Like Drew Brees. Brees allowing Taysom Hill to come in short yardage situations or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a conscious decision because the quarterback's not supposed to leave the field. Or it's controversial if you've got two quarterbacks or whatever. Most quarterbacks are wired in that way that, all right, this is my team, this is my offense, I'm going to be out here directing it. And he just tapped out because he was tired.
Well, I think about CJ in that game yesterday. CJ took a huge hit early in that game where he's getting up and he's holding his back. He's clearly in some pain.
Mm-hmm.
It would be justified to come out in that situation like, hey, man, there might be something wrong with me right here. You know, like to come out, though, because of cardio.
Well, the funniest thing, too, with Richardson, it's not just the fact that he did it. It's the complete and total lack of awareness that it's something
not acceptable.
You might not want to be completely withholding about transparent about this. You might want to just say, I got dinged a little and I just needed to get checked a little bit. You know, I got the wind knocked out of me.
Right.
It was just something felt weird, but I don't think there was any, he had a big smile on his face as he was saying it. Yeah.
People were
killing
him.
He's just a kid that likes parkour and messing around and doing backflips and taking a break every now and then.
We'll hear some of the criticism of him later in the show.
Pat McAfee's been, this is the downside to Pat McAfee being a huge national mouthpiece for Colts fans now.
Yeah.
It's a Pat McAfee's out on him, or at least out on this moment.
Yeah.
He's saying what so many other NFL players have said, which is, I've never seen anything like this.
I can't believe this.
Yeah.
So that was a huge news item yesterday. I would say the other big news item yesterday that the Texans are kind of tangentially a part of, because it's their next opponent, is the colossal failure that is the New York Jets.
Right.
They lost a game on Sunday against the Patriots, where they allowed less than 250 yards to the Patriots, allowed less than 250 yards of offense to the Patriots, scored more than 20 points, didn't turn the ball over. When teams have done those three things, allowed less than 250 yards, scored more than 20 points, not turning the ball over, prior to yesterday or prior to Sunday in the history of the NFL, they were 750-0.
Oh, wow. Good job, Jets.
It's the only time it's happened that a team has lost.
Yeah.
Is the Jets. That's impressive. On Sunday against the That's really impressive.
That's like out-Jetsing the Jets.
That's hard
Not
to do.
Not even the Jets have done that.
That's Yes. You know how many Jets? Yeah. You know how hard that is to do? So
it's
crazy. And they're even getting shade from the Patriots. This is defensive lineman Devon Godshow talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers didn't seem as mobile as he's been.
Yeah, I think he's struggling right now. You know, just a Hall of Fame quarterback like that, just, you know, hate to see him go out that way, but, you know, always going to take a win against him, you know, build your, on your resume. But, yeah, he definitely don't look the same. He just don't look like he can move back there. I can run him down and catch him. You know, he don't look mobile at all, you know, so it was good for us. You know, we know we can get after him and attack him in the passing game, too. So, you know, I'm glad to come out here with a win.
Yeah, that's a bigger dude as well, by the way. That's a that's a big
D-tackle,
body guy.
Yeah.
That's not like some 245-pound edge rusher chasing him down.
Right.
The thing about the Jets is you wanted a coordinator change, an offensive coordinator. You got it. And in that game last week, and I think it was in the first half, they had multiple delay of game penalties. They burned up all their timeouts.
In the first quarter.
In the first quarter. Oh, it was the first quarter.
First quarter.
First quarter.
Yeah.
They burned up all their timeouts in the first quarter so they could avoid delay of game penalties. It is not what you would expect out of an offense run by Aaron Rodgers that just added his best bud, Devontae Adams, and they haven't really formed a connection yet. And yet, I don't worry about not getting up for this game or anything else like that, just because you look at the Jets and all of the things that are making Jets fans miserable right now is that the Jets are not performing the way they look on paper. But I think when you're preparing for the Jets, it's really easy to look at them and look at, okay, their cornerbacks, Reed and Sauce Gardner, those guys are good. They play physical. Like, all right, we got to be dialed in against these guys. You look at the defensive line and Quinnen Williams or Hassan Reddick or any of those guys, and okay, I can watch highlights of them and I'm going to be ready for them. And they got a lot of speed. Down in their front seven in general, they got a lot of speed. And then offensively, likewise, their offensive line is pretty damn respectable, I think, this year. And then Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't worry as much about going against this bad team and having a letdown. I think there's still enough kind of star appeal and pop. And then you're playing on national streaming service.
Yeah.
It's a nationally streamed football game.
A lot of people will be watching. Yeah.
That's right. It takes a little bit of the glow. Everything we do online is nationally streamed.
That's true.
Everybody listening, your Instagram is an international stream.
It's a global game.
Listeners,
I you know what I think also helps the Texans here? And we're going to get to Will Anderson in the final play of the game here in a second. I think losing last year 30-6 to them helps the Texans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is like, the one D'Amico brought up this game in training camp.
Yeah.
Is the evidence of a game where the energy just wasn't right.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that this is maybe a proving point, or has been a talking point, maybe even in team meetings going back to training camp.
Yeah, you lost to a 4-8 team quarterback by Zach Wilson at this stadium last year.
That's where you're talking to the defense, you know, where, hey, you guys are doing a good job. You're doing great. Remember what Zach Wilson did to you last year?
Yeah.
You want to go avenge that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would use that. I think it helps.
They should have an effigy of Zach Wilson in the team meeting on Wednesday night where they just rip him, tear him to shreds.
Pinata.
Yes.
A Zach Wilson pinata.
Yes.
Here was the final play of the game against the Colts to close things out. If you recall, Colts had the ball about midfield. Hail Mary time. Never even got the Hail Mary off.
One snap for the Colts. 1 second left. Texans up three, trying to hang on. Richardson out of the gun. Here's the snap. He steps to his left. Richardson in trouble. And Richardson's going to be sacked. Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter get him. The ball comes out. There's a scrum for it. Everybody's still chasing it. And Will ends up with it. Game over. Houston wins. Bye-bye, Colts. 23-20, Texans.
I just said, we're good, season. Ben. I just want to hear bye-bye, Colts from Vandy again there. That was the final play of the game. I believe Danielle Hunter got credit for the sack there, if I'm not mistaken. If you recall, they had all their pass rushers lined up on the left side.
Yeah, yeah.
Their left, the Colts right.
Yeah.
Nobody over to the other side. We asked Will Anderson about this play in the postgame show, and he described how they arrived at that scheme.
Hey, talk to us a little bit about that last play, man. That was wild. I know y'all brought pressure off of the quarterback's right, your left. I mean, but take us through how you saw that play unfold.
So it was so weird because we never practiced that before. We've never practiced that before. And coach is like, we're just going to overload to one side and y'all play off of each other. And so Danielle got into like a wide five. Danico was in a three. And I was behind Danielle and I was just playing off of him. And all I know is Danielle went high. Danico went high. And I'm running behind Danielle. The guard comes to me and I just wrap around. And me and Danielle just meet right there at the quarterback. So, man, it was awesome. Hopefully we can do that on a regular down instead of, last minute of the game.
You may have just stumbled into something, right? That's crazy. So it was almost like y'all just drew it up on the back of a napkin or something.
Just fast. Like, not even on the whiteboard. Just everybody overload and y'all play off of each other and see what happens.
It is fun. That's fun.
Just go.
Hail Marys are fun because there is just kind of, it's a wide open slate. And they don't even necessarily expect you to get a good rush versus a mobile quarterback, but you want to force him to his left first and foremost, and then make it harder for him to make a good throw. Getting a sack on a Hail Mary or any situation like that is high level of difficulty.
Yeah,
you see some defenses just rush one and drop everybody else. I think that this was obviously because it worked out. It was the appropriate strategy.
Because most quarterbacks go, I better get rid of this thing at the very least.
Yeah.
What are you doing swallowing it there, Anthony Richardson?
I know.
It's the last play of the game.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, I was thinking about this yesterday, Sean. This is, aside from Anthony Richardson tapping out, there were several moments in that game where Colts fans have got to be just incredulous about the way Anthony Richardson handled it, including on that last drive. When he scrambled, it didn't look like there was a thought in his mind of getting out of bounds until after he was getting tackled.
Yeah.
He had zero awareness there about the importance to get out of bounds because he could have gotten the first down and gotten out of bounds easily, especially given how athletic he is. There was the throw at the end of the first half, the interception, which he apparently checked into himself. And then taking himself out of the game. Multiple other instances, but those were the three glaring ones of, okay, this guy just doesn't get it.
Yeah. I hope they keep trotting him out there, man.
I saw...
They're 4-4 right now. They're the 8th seed in the AFC right now. Like, they are where the Texans were a year ago. Hovering around 500 halfway through the season. Like, if I'm a Colts fan or if I'm a veteran on the Colts, where I'm burning daylight on my career, I'm like, am I going to be on a team where we're basically treating this like a 17-game training camp for this guy?
Right, right.
And we got Joe Flacco sitting right there who literally got the Browns to the postseason.
Yeah, that's
last
the problem,
year.
Man. And in the Texans, this is where the Texans can throw even more grenades into their platoon. Is that the Texans are the Texans are responsible for making Joe Flacco look human. Last year when he was on a pretty good run.
They made him look immortal in week 16 and human in the playoffs.
Okay, so since the Texans were part of Joe Flacco's run where there's lots of good film and stats on Joe Flacco. Yes, I go with that.
Pick one.
In hindsight, the Texans did the smartest thing they could for their standing in with the division by making Joe Flacco look incredible in the regular season.
That's
yes.
right. There you go.
That's exactly the right take.
There you go. Ross Tucker's going to join us at the top of the hour. Ross was on the... he was on the Browns' win over the Ravens this weekend. That was his CBS game.
Yeah.
That was a good storyline game. So we'll talk about a little Jameis Winston with him. We'll get his thoughts on the Texans as well as they head into Thursday Night Football against the Jets. Jets, by the way, are up to a 2-point favorite. The line is Jets minus two. I'm worried about this game. I'm worried about this game.
Yeah.
I'm worried about this game.
What's been the biggest thing moving the line?
I don't. Maybe
the injury to Stephon Diggs.
The fake Adam Schefter tweet about Diggs and me reading it on talk radio.
I think most people are assuming that Stephon Diggs isn't going to play.
At least isn't going to play in this game, right?
Yeah.
I don't know I don't know what we're assuming about the injury itself long term, but he didn't practice yesterday, so it's. So it's dicey, man. Night game in New York, desperate Jets team. I'm nervous about this game. All right, let's get to headlines. We'll do this next. We've got other injury news from the Texans on a short week here. that we'll get to. Monday Night Football last night, we'll get to that. Rockets win over the Spurs. We'll get to all of it in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Texans, and we'll start with the injury report. Out yesterday from whatever practice activities they were doing on a Monday before a Thursday game, Azeez Alshire, Stephon Diggs, Jarrett Patterson, Damian Pierce showing up on the injury report with a groin injury.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Jimmy Ward still out with a groin of his own. So that's those are the
I turned my mic on, so I gave myself a ding.
So those are the guys who were out yesterday. The big one is Stephon Diggs. Don't fall for any fake Adam Schefters like I did.
Sean Pendergast.
Don't be like
idiot.
Sean. Yeah, yeah, don't be like Sean. So we're waiting to see. The longer it goes, maybe the more hope we have with Diggs. He's not going to play on Thursday. I feel safe in saying
that's what
that.
You think.
Yeah, maybe
you're
not. Who knows?
You're not quoting a fake Adam Schefter on that.
Kalen Bullock limited with a shoulder injury, which he left the game for a while on Sunday and came back in. Henry Toa Toa, full go yesterday.
Ooh, full go.
Full go at
doing
Monday
whatever
activities.
The hell they were doing. Yesterday,
well, I promise you, if he were still concussed, he'd be limited.
Well, they were hypothetical limitations. So, yeah, because I saw whoever framed it that way. Quinnen Williams is on the hypothetically limited yesterday. They were framed. If they were practicing yesterday, this guy would be limited. So
that's good news on Toa Toa.
Yeah. Well, and it's good news also on Quinnen Williams being hypothetically limited.
Yeah,
the guy who concussed CJ last year, and he looked kind of hobbled in the second half of last week's game. He's got an ankle, and he wasn't moving all that well on it.
Okay, well, that's good news for the beleaguered Texans offensive line right now. Mm-hmm. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday at his press conference, asked about, hey, what are the positives about Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, I think the positive with playing on Thursday is it's a short week, so you get to flush whatever happened, you flush it out even quicker than previous week. And then I think the best part about Thursday is just getting the extended weekend off. So that'll be, everybody is looking forward to a little off time. So that'll be the best part about it.
That is true. For a team whose actual bye week isn't until December the 8th, this Thursday probably, in a weird way, this Thursday is somewhat welcome from a standpoint. Hey, we get this game over with.
Yeah.
We got 10 days till the next game.
It is. It's a little carrot on the stick that you just, I'm going to have the weekend off. I can rest, recuperate. And then I think that he's taken the right approach, D'Amico, is on it, I can tell what the team meetings have been like based on what players and coaches have said in the media, which is rest and recovery, rest and recovery, rest and recovery. I think that you look at the biggest thing you can do to gain an advantage in a game like this, when things are atypical, it's that a lot of guys on both teams, hopefully more on the Jets than on the Texans, are going to do their normal Sunday routine, which might be going out or something after a game or what have you. And maybe they don't get great sleep on a Monday night. If you dial in on that stuff and really focus on it, you can have a physical advantage over those guys who are also the challenge the Jets have is, okay, who's letting go of the rope? You know, like who's starting to let things slide?
Yeah.
Who's got a big bucket of Halloween candy out there already, and they've started overeating already?
I ate 20 Twix before the game.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll talk more about this game as the show rolls on Thursday night. Seth and I got you for Texans Countdown starting at 4:15, I believe, somewhere shortly after 4 o'clock.
I'll be there an hour early, like I was a couple weeks ago. Where's everybody? What's going on? Am I in the wrong spot again?
Hey, dude, and We just so you know, for Monday, we do turn back the clocks on Sunday this weekend.
Why? Nobody knows.
Yeah.
it's that Nate Bargatze bit.
Yeah, it's true. Nobody
knows. Twice a year, we will change the clocks. That's right. Why? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
It has something to do with farmers. That's all we know. In World War I, but somehow it persists.
Monday Night Football last night, the Steelers beat the Giants. Steelers are 6-2 now and leading that AFC North. They were the team thought to be the fourth of those four teams in the division before the season. They're 6-2, they win last night over the Giants, 26-18. Russell Wilson, 20 of 28, 278 yards, one touchdown. They had a lot of trouble in the red zone in this game, but Russell Wilson undefeated since taking over as the Steelers starter. A lot of people kind of side-eyeing Mike Tomlin, like, hey man, Justin Fields is 4-2. What are we doing here?
Right.
They're 2-0 with Russell Wilson at quarterback.
I had a hard time with that because it's not like Justin Fields was playing the immaculate football or anything.
No, but they're 4-2.
Right. But I think Tomlin's in a category of like, all right. Listen, I've been a 500 football team here. It's like slightly above a 500 football team for a couple of years now.
Right.
This isn't who we are.
Right.
I need to figure something out. The two things about that game: one, those Steelers uniforms might be the best uniforms in the history of football.
Mm-hmm.
Those mostly black with some gold accent.
Really nice.
Really nice. The two, just the Daniel Jones. Tell me what's more shocking. Daniel Jones' career 1-15 record in primetime games, or the fact that Daniel Jones has played in 16 primetime games.
The 1-15.
Yeah.
It's the Giants. It's New York.
Yeah.
So them playing a lot of primetime games.
But it's bogus, Sean. It's bogus.
It is what it is. 1-15, though. I am surprised at that. That's really hard to
do. That's an incredibly bad record to have in primetime games.
In any type of situation, it's really bad.
No,
yeah, primetime.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, and Daniel Jones was getting animated last night. He was getting after Malik Nabers a little bit.
Who's going out with Kay Adams?
Daniel
is
Jones,
it Daniel
supposedly.
Jones?
Yeah, that was the rumor. The rumor was Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Yeah. So
maybe she's the problem.
Maybe. She's the Yoko Ono of the New York Giants.
Mm.
Yeah. As if they didn't have several other problems that have
right. Yeah,
they are.
Jets fans can't go from having they can't add her onto the list of having a death wish for the both Yoko, because they still hate Yoko Ono too.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of room for hatred with Jets fans. A
lot of hate. Well, Giants fan. Yeah, Giants.
Or, excuse me, Giants fans. I'm thinking about that. I got Jets on the brain.
That's okay. Thursday night, man. Rockets win last night, 106-101. Jalen Green.
Yeah.
Earning his money last night, Seth Payne. 37 minutes, 36 points, 7 of 13 from 3. He was outstanding in the first half of this game. He had 24 points at halftime in this game.
And then ends up...
kind of held off the Spurs. They were leading by a bunch.
Yeah.
And then they let him creep back in. And unlike what they did with the Hornets the other night, where they let the Hornets win, they held the Spurs off.
And Jalen Green draws a double and passes it to Van Vliet for a three to seal the game.
Yep.
And I think the biggest thing overall as a team is, okay, this is what you're looking for. They got punched in the chin a couple times, but they didn't fall apart because of it. They were able to work through and keep running their stuff even when things weren't going well. So it looked like a more veteran basketball team last night.
They are at Dallas on Halloween night. So we'll keep a side eye on a second screen while we're watching the Texans and the Jets. So Rockets 2-2. They were making a big deal out of these first four games. 2-2. That's okay. It's a long season. Hey, did you hear Giselle is having a baby with her jiu-jitsu instructor?
Well, it sounds like they, you know, once she
Tom Brady's ex, for those who...
Once she broke it off with Tom Brady, then the friendship she had with the jiu-jitsu instructor, maybe that was the point. Certainly couldn't be that she was having an affair while she was...
No, they were just friends.
They were just friends.
Yeah.
And he accompanied her on a trip to, you know...
Somewhere exotic. Which you always bring your jiu-jitsu instructor with you.
I feel bad for Tom Brady's kids and all that. Like, that's something that you're going to figure out later in life, you know? And then you're going to have a...
later in
the
life.
The disillusionment of what happens.
Dude, if they have the internet, they've figured it out already, probably.
Yeah, but you still don't know. Remember, like, even when you're a kid, you see stuff and I think that has something to do with sex or something,
peculiar.
But you're not sure, you know? It's just this mysterious void. It's whenever they get to the age where they put... 2 and 2 together and realize, okay.
We were doing that with no internet back in the day. They've got the internet now, Seth.
I found out some of the deep, dark secrets about the adults that in my life growing up when I was like 35, and it was a little bit unsettling.
Yeah, that's true.
There was stuff I found out about adults in my life when I was 35 or 40, and I was like, kind of like, wow, I got to kind of reassess the way
I
think about life.
The longer it goes, the more you form, the more it solidifies that impression you have of those people.
Yeah, but I felt like I could handle it as opposed to realizing it when you're 16 or something.
That's true.
Tough. It's more disorienting.
That's fair.
So I feel bad for those kids in that regard.
Ross Tucker is our Odyssey NFL insider. He was on the Browns and the Ravens on Sunday, which was one of the more entertaining games and post games of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also get his thoughts on Thursday night's matchup between the Jets and the Texans. He is our Odyssey NFL insider. He is Ross Tucker, and he joins us next.